Well, today I want to introduce you to Jesus. We're back in Luke. Now, didn't really set out to do a series in Luke, but we're still in Luke after having started there before Christmas. It's just the perfect place to talk about the coming of Jesus or the birth of Jesus, because it's got a lot in there about the birth of Jesus. And I want to continue in Luke for a while yet. Why? I want us to meet the Holy Spirit. We're on our way to meet the Holy Spirit. Remember that passage that I asked you to think about? The one who's coming, he's going to baptize you in with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I hope you're still keeping that in the back of your mind. What does that mean, fire, in that particular context? So we're getting there eventually, but it won't be today. But first, we need to meet Jesus, because we really haven't met him in his ministry yet. So far in Luke, we've met Mary, the mother of Jesus. We've met Joseph, her husband. We've met Jesus as a baby. We observed him in his first few weeks in the temple, people meeting him who are waiting for him. We talked about him as a boy of 12 years old. We also met John the Baptist. And in the last couple of sessions we've had together, we've been talking about John the Baptist. His parents we've met, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And he is introducing us, or he's introducing the people in his day to Jesus in a bit of a strange way. And it's through baptism and a call to repentance. So I want to start by reading Luke chapter 3 and verses 15 to 18. Luke 3, 15 to 18. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. So if we read this account of John the Baptist in the book of Luke, there doesn't seem to be a lot of indication of what was the good news that John was preaching. We might have to go back to Matthew to find out what the good news was. Matthew said that John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So the kingdom of heaven was definitely good news. It's near, that was good news. And in Mark we read that John came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. So forgiveness from sin is good news. And so this is obviously the good news that John kept on preaching. Now, the first verse that we read, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. So John was a pretty amazing spectacle. Interesting person, dressed strangely, did some strange things, and they were all expecting, many people were expecting the Messiah. So the Messiah is another word for the Christ. So I just want us to remember again that this is a title. They didn't know the name of the Christ. They knew the title. They thought maybe it's John the Christ. Because John the Baptist, you know, was this amazing creature that came along and preached and baptized, and people were confessing their sins and repenting and changing their ways of life. So maybe it was John the Christ. Well, they were wrong, and John told them. Another title might have been the one that Moses talked about centuries before. A prophet is going to come, Moses predicted. Isaiah, centuries before, predicted the title of another title for this person, the coming one, the anointed one. Isaiah talked about the servant. A servant was going to come. It's interesting that even Samaritans, who were a mixed race people, who were despised by the Jews, were expecting the Messiah. They expected the Messiah as well. So when John came along, was he the Messiah? So let's go on to Luke chapter 3 and verses 21 and 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he, as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Today we want to meet Jesus Christ. In regards to the baptism of Jesus, won't talk about that today. That's interesting in itself, and I think we'll probably look at that next Sunday. A voice came from heaven when Jesus came up out of the water. "You are my son." Luke 2:32, Mary was told that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. So let's start by meeting Jesus involves meeting the Son of God. Mary was told, "Your son is going to be called the Son of the Most High." And she was told that the Holy Spirit would come on her and that the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and that's how she became pregnant. And here we have the voice from heaven. "This is my son." Now, we look at the Gospel of John, and we continue to discover this person. Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verses 26 to 29. John says, "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who will come after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. Then down to verse 35. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon." So secondly, meeting Jesus involves meeting a real human being. He was the Son of God, but this was a real flesh and blood human being. We read, "This man is standing among you." He's probably wearing sandals, because John was talking, "I'm not even worthy to remove or to untie his sandals." And when he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said something about this person. When these disciples saw Jesus passing by, John again says, "The Lamb of God." And these disciples asked him, "Where are you staying?" Jesus lived somewhere. Whether he had an apartment, this wasn't in his territory really, but he was staying somewhere. They wanted to see where he was staying, and they went along with him, and he showed them, and they spent the day with him. This Messiah has a real name. Jesus is his name. We have to always make distinctions between the two Johns that we're talking about, because John the Baptist is in our story, and John the disciple is writing the book of John, and John the disciple also wrote the letters that appear just before the book of Revelation. In that book, 1 John, the first letter of John, he says this about him: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Who is he talking about? Jesus. They saw him with their physical eyes. They heard him with their ears. They touched him with their hands. He was real. He was a real human being. He had a name. Now to the passage that Ray read this morning. John 1:1-18. We're not going to read it again. Meeting Jesus involves meeting God. So we've already talked about Jesus, meeting Jesus as the Son of God. Here we're going a little bit further, and we're actually meeting Jesus as God. In the beginning was the Word. What other book in the Bible started with "in the beginning"? Genesis, right? So John is deliberately doing this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's saying here, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I never used to like this chapter. I didn't like reading John much because John isn't a logical thinker. He's not a linear thinker. He thinks in circles. He's always coming back to himself and concepts, and it's a little more, we don't all think that way. Anyways, I've learned to so appreciate this man. The book of John. John is very visual, and he tends to repeat things often, and he comes to the next thought, and you don't think, how did he get there logically and everything else? But this is amazing. So he was with God in the beginning, and he actually was God. We call this book the Word of God. When we come here on Thursday nights to have a Bible study, we approach the Bible on that premise, that this is the Word of God. Jesus, being the Word of God, and we're studying the Word of God, we're actually studying Jesus. I always like to approach the Bible, the reading of the Bible, this way. Where is Jesus? And Jesus actually is our theme or our topic. So, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is also the Creator. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and this life was the light of all mankind. You know, you want to put maybe co-creator with God, but he's also the Creator, right? He's there at the very beginning. We could put that in because we see God the Father as distinct from Jesus, and yet it's hard to sort of imagine God's Word, Jesus, going out and doing the actual creating, you know. So concepts, they're a little difficult to understand, but this is who Jesus is. He's also the light. When we meet Jesus, it involves meeting the light. So as God, he is Creator, he is light. And we'll continue from there. Let's just read that verse. In him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. But we want to read particularly verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus is also the light. Verse 14 in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Well, we've already talked about Jesus being human, flesh and blood. Made his dwelling, lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. We also seen him as the Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's where we want to say one more thing about Jesus being God. Grace and truth. I want to first concentrate on that, on understanding of Jesus being the truth. Too late, I thought about getting a plumb line. I'm sure some of you have a plumb line at home. I thought I had one, and I looked for it, and it's something else. So a plumb line is something that has a string that has a weight on it that you attach to something, and you try to find out whether something is truly vertical. When something is in plumb, it is called true. And Jesus was the truth. Jesus was God's plumb line. When Jesus lived on this earth, it was discovered that he actually said this about himself, that he was the truth. He was true, truly vertical. And then it says, yeah, a little later in this passage, Jesus was the only Son who came from a Father full of grace and truth. And in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law was God's plumb line. This is the way I want you to live. This is true living. You live according to the law. When Jesus came along, he actually was that true demonstration of what God wanted. He actually demonstrated by his life, this is the way you need to live. And when we look at the law and we realize, well, we can't perfectly keep the law, it doesn't take us long for that, for us to realize that, then we need the other half of this equation, full of grace and truth. And that's what is, and we sang about it today. We sang about all the mercies of the Lord. Jesus declared about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to the Father, nobody comes to the Father but through me. I am the way to the Father, and I'm the truth about the Father. I am the truth of God, but also full of grace. I just want to read verse 14. Actually, not verse 14, but verse 16. In the Amplified Version, in my NIV version, it says, out of his fullness, Jesus, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. What does that mean? Well, here's the Amplified Version. The Amplified Bible says, for out of his fullness, abundance, we're talking about Jesus, we all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. One thing, we've all received so much from God through Jesus, even before Jesus came on this earth. From him we have received all this. All of creation has received this. And I started thinking about some of the things that we have received, all the benefits that we have received from Jesus, even before he came on the earth, people received these things. Life itself, just the ability to breathe and to be alive. Creation, nature, a mother and a father, family, marriage, everything we need, food, shelter, and clothing. We have hope. We have salvation. The knowledge of God. We know what God wants. He wants relationship. We receive forgiveness, sonship, calling, fruitfulness, joy, strength, and on and on and on, and ultimately, eternal life. Grace upon grace we have received already from Jesus. And it just keeps on being poured out. And that's the limitless resource. That's the limitlessness of Jesus himself. So meeting Jesus, we meet someone who is full of grace and truth. Finally, meeting Jesus, we are confronted with our sin. Some of the scriptures that we've been reading. You're to call him Jesus, Joseph was told, because he's going to save his people from their sins. The shepherds were told, a Savior has been born. Who needs a Savior? Well, obviously, those who need saving, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, God, through Jesus, has come. Repent. That means we need to repent from something. John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. When John the Baptist saw Jesus walking past him, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Meeting Jesus, we come to the realization of just how sinful we are. And maybe we haven't got a long list of things that we've done bad. We haven't murdered anybody. There's things that we haven't done. But perhaps the greatest sin, the biggest sin that we could commit is a sin of independence. We don't need Jesus. We don't need saving. That's the biggest sin that we could commit. So our conclusion is from John chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, the Jewish people, but they didn't receive him. And yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, what does the name of Jesus mean? The Lord saves. Jesus was given a very ordinary name, Yeshua, Joshua, which was a common name. It's a common name today. The Lord saves. If we believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We don't get to meet Jesus like John did, John the Apostle. We hear him with our physical ears and see him with our eyes or touch him with our hands. You know that the Gospel of Luke, written by Luke didn't either. Luke didn't get to, most likely didn't get to ever meet Jesus. He came to know Jesus after Jesus had gone back to heaven. But we do get to meet him by faith in the Spirit. Believe in who he is, what he's come to do, and receive him. How do we receive Jesus? How do you receive somebody who comes to your door? You can either turn them away or ignore them, pretend you're not at home, right? Or you open the door and welcome them in. And we often talk about, you know, the way we receive Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. Sometimes we have to make some room for him because we realize there's stuff there that needs cleaning out. And this is what John was doing, right? And when we call upon Jesus to save us, we're calling on a Savior, someone who can save us from our sin. So we are confronted with our sin when we meet Jesus. As a child, I was told, ask Jesus to forgive your sins, and I knew I was a sin at the age of 7, and invite him into your heart. Now, that wasn't so hard for me to understand at the age of 7, and I did it, and it made a difference. Jesus came in. I received him, and the amazing thing that happens is that we become children of God. Not born like we were naturally born, but born of God. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about being born again. In him was life. There's a new life, born again into a new life. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the way to the Father, the truth of the Father, and the life that actually comes into us when we believe in him and receive him. Well, someday we're going to meet Jesus face to face, and our knowledge of him will be more complete. But I think it's going to take an eternity to continue to discover this amazing person. As we meet Jesus through the scriptures, as we look at the scriptures, as we go through the scriptures, you know, always good to see, where are you, Jesus? What do you want me to learn about you and about myself today? Lord, we just want to commit this word to you. We want to see Jesus. And we know that you have given us everything that we need for this life, for a life that pleases God, godliness, through the promises that we have in this word, through Jesus' promises. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We want to know you better. We want you to occupy fully our lives, to receive you more completely, and to experience the life that you offer as a result. We ask for your blessing on us as we continue to get to know you.